All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, February 22nd, 2016. What's going on? How
are ya?
How's it going? Happy Monday to each and every one of you. I was going to say to every one of you, then I decided to throw an each, so that's why the each sounded weird there. Just to let you know, it's another beautiful day out here in Los Angeles. Getting ready to go out to Foxwoods. This weekend, right? Yeah, Friday I'll be in New York City, and then Saturday and Sunday I'm going to be at Foxwoods, and it's going to be hopefully going to be a good time. I'm going to do a bunch of stand up this week, so I'm not rusty. Old Freckles can't be walking in there rusty, and definitely looking forward to getting back there. Although I heard it's fucking freezing, but whatever, you know, I can visit winter. I'm a big fucking Southern California softy now. I get there, my teeth chattering when it gets in the 40s. It's actually not true. And that shit, too, where they go, oh, your blood thins out. You know, your blood thins out. Then you go back, you can't handle the cold. It's like, no, that's not what happens. You have access to information in a beautiful life that you could be living still within the parameters of this great country. You know, all you people back there shoveling that wet snow, I'm just letting you, you don't have to do it. You know, I took my dog out this morning. Ba-do-ba-do-do. You know what I had on? I had on a windbreaker. Just walking down the street. I could sit on my back porch in the sun right now. Okay. And burn another couple of cancer-causing freckles into the top of my head while I had a little bit of cornflakes. You know, sitting out there like that douche in the old Grape Nut commercials. There's always some guy, right? He'd come out. It was like he was a man's man, but a pretty boy. You know, like Tom Brady, except he couldn't throw a football. That guy, right? And he'd come out with the impossibly white robe. Brand new white robe. They even fucking bleached it, right? The whitest shit ever. And he, you know, he's got a little fucking bowl of Grape Nuts. Always had some fruit in there because he had that kind of time. This guy was so successful. He had the time to cut up fruit into his fucking Grape Nuts. And he'd go out on his back porch and just chill. I remember as a little boy, as a little orange-headed fucking freckled pussy, I remember watching that just going like, that guy's living the life. Look at him. Look how white that robe is. He's got fruit in his fucking Grape Nuts. This guy's crushing it. Who's he fucking? Come on, I want to see the rest of his life. Let me see his lady. And that was the genius of that commercial. They never showed his bra. I don't think they did. Maybe she came out afterwards. You know, I don't think so. But that's the genius of it. It left you wanting more. And you started thinking about his life. And you started thinking, you know what? You know, if I start eating Grape Nuts, maybe I'll have an impossibly white robe. And I'll come out and I'll actually have pigment in my skin. You know, nice full head of hair. And I'll walk out on my deck barefoot. You know? Looking like I got all the money in the world. I got all the answers, confidence, hell, and I even have time to cut up fruit in my cereal. I want that life. You know, and here it is years later. To this day, you know, I'm still eating Grape Nuts. Sure, I never got the pigment. Yeah, I lost the hair. You know, had some structural damage to my house, you know, but I have time to cut up some fruit, man. It's my life. Sorry. Anyways, yeah, so your blood doesn't thin out. It doesn't thin out. You just know what it's like to experience an 85 degree day in fucking February. And then you go back, you're just like, what the... You know what it's like? It's like, you ever see a rich person have to stand in line? It's the combination of frustration and confusion. It's more confusion than frustration. It's more like, wait, I don't wait. I got money. Like, who wants this? Who do I give this to so I can go around this? I don't want to be with these animals. These are the people that make my dreams come true. They show up at my factory. All right? They put the fucking the nut and bolt in the widget that I bought off of somebody else. They came in with the design. They didn't have any money. I made them sign a piece of paper where I own the patent to their idea. I go around all this. Right? Rich guy thoughts. And then there's just that confusion of like, why am I don't do this anymore. That's what West Coast people who've lived on the East Coast, then when they go back East, you know, when we parrot troop into fucking winter, that's what we think. Like, I don't do this anymore. These chap-faced fucking animals back here, I'm not fucking doing this, shoveling wet snow, stretching out your back, you know, all excited because you got a new snowblower. You know, that's your winner. That's for you. I go around that, man. I don't do that shit. I'm out on my back porch. In a bathrobe eating some grape nuts. That's how I'm doing it. Dude, my fucking dog is laying on his bed right now, okay? It's like from the neck down, it's on the bed. And then like its head is hanging off of the bed onto the hardwood floor. I mean, it looks literally like it got hit by a tranquilizer. All right, and you know what I did with the dog today? This is why she's so exhausted after at least 11 hours sleep last night. The fucking thing goes to bed at like 7 at night. It's hilarious. Like whenever I'm watching the game and I'm just sitting there, she's like over in the corner, just curled up in a ball, sound asleep. Okay, which is why now I can't get her off this clock here. She keeps, I don't know how to keep her up, you know? Because she keeps waking me up at like 5:30, quarter to 6 in the morning. It's driving me nuts. So anyways, so now, after 11 hours of sleeping, I took it around the block. That's it. She looks like she ran a marathon. I don't fucking know. I don't understand why they're so goddamn sleepy all the time. I've had dogs my whole life. I've never seen a dog sleep the way this fucking thing sleeps. Then it gets up at 5:30 in the morning like a goddamn drill sergeant. The only thing it's missing is, you know, remember in Full Metal Jacket when the guy came walking in and he was beating the billy club against the empty trash can? That's basically what she does to me every morning, except it's way more adorable. I'll be like sound asleep, and then I'm woken up to a cold nose doing that fucking psycho way they sniff that. Does that shit. That fucking... her paintbrush tongue. And I'm like, bah! That's how I wake up every morning. I'm one of those people, once you wake me up, it's fucking over. All right? Just to let you know, in case you're ever sleeping next to me. You know, keep it quiet. All right, let's move on. As I mentioned on the Thursday afternoon podcast, just before Friday, that I was going to the Warriors game. Warriors! I was going to the Warriors Clippers game, and I was taking the lovely Nia, and because I wanted to go see Steph Curry in his prime. You know? You got to see them when they're young, before they get the first major injury, or before they just get old and remind you that you're going to die someday, you know? You don't need to see that. But doing that, you know, I saw Michael Jordan back when he had hair. I see him early. All right, when he was still skinny and the Pistons were beating the shit out of him. And he was dropping 60 on the Celtics. I saw him then. I saw him when they were probably, I think it was right before the Jordan 3s came out. It was probably his second pair. By the way, for the record, when the first Air Jordans came out, I thought they were the ugliest fucking things I had ever seen in the red and black Bulls colors. I thought they were the ugliest fucking things I'd ever seen. And by the way, Celtics fans, how much more likable is Pau Gasol now that he's not on the Lakers? I don't know what it is. My hatred of the Lakers really just made me hate that guy way more than I needed to. Anyway, so we go down to the game, and I'm like ridiculously excited. Like I'm seeing one of the great NBA teams of all time, and I'm seeing arguably the greatest shooter. This early in his career, you can actually make that argument. This guy is the greatest shooter in NBA history. And in my lifetime, I've watched Andrew Toney, Larry Legend, Reggie Miller, and I even throw Kobe Bryant in there. I never saw a guy have two people hanging on him out by the three-point line and just with his back to the fucking hoop, and he still somehow gets it in, you know? God knows he's not looking for the open man trying to beat the double team. Why would you do that? Anyways, so I go there. I get on StubHub, right? I fucking pay through the nose. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Pay through the nose. I get a sixth row behind, not behind the bench, but almost behind the Warriors bench, but whatever the fucking table where all the announcers are and shit. I'm like somewhere in there. Six rows back. And one of the great things is when you go to an NBA game is like, if you're six rows deep, you can like literally hear them calling for the ball. You know, if Steve Kerr, if he fucking cursed at the ref, like, oh, what the fuck? And he gets teed up. I know what he said. All right. That's what I paid for. That's why I went on StubHub and I said, fuck it. Huh? You want a wheelbarrow full of cash? Here you go. I'm not fucking sitting all the way. The Staples Center is the fucking worst. You got to sit down low or else it's like they got this brownstone of corporate boxes, three deckers, three fucking levels of them all the way around. It's like a moat between the fucking haves and the have-nots. And then all the real fans, they're up by the fucking air-conditioned ducts. So it's like, that's what's the option. I was either way the fuck up there or pay through the nose. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to pay through the nose, right? So, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to hear him talk. And I'm going to watch one of the great shooters of all fucking time. And I get there, dude. And I know during all of this, I'm going to sound like a grumpy old man. But what the fuck happened to go into an NBA game? Dude, there wasn't one moment of silence the entire fucking game. They even play music when the fucking game's going on. I didn't hear one sneaker squeak. I heard a couple of, yo, calling for the ball. That was it. I heard nothing. Because the entire fucking time the game's going on, some fucking douche is playing, everybody clap your hands. They played that fucking 50 fucking times. First of all, I walk into the fucking building, right? And I'm all excited. Where's my seats? I paid through the nose. Here we go. Right? It's like when you go on vacation. You use all your fucking miles. We're sitting up in the front of the plane. Woo! You can't fucking wait to get on a plane. Where's my big comfy fucking seat that I fucking paid for, right? That's the level of excitement I had. And I go in there. And I'm coming down to the seats. And first of all, there's some DJ guy. There's always a fucking DJ. You can't even buy a pair of fucking pants now. You walk into a store, there's a fucking, some sad looking DJ there, just sitting there, you know, with his bad posture. You know, some hack DJ just fucking playing music. I love too with like curse words in it too. Like you're in like a place of business, you know? Cause I'm fucking you tonight, right? They're playing like Biggie and shit, right? So, anyways, this is fucking DJ, and I don't know what the fuck he's doing. Every 5 seconds, make some noise! People at section 300, if you can hear me, make some noise! And everybody's like, the game hasn't even started. What the fuck are we cheering? Huh? Are you getting us hyped for the game, you fucking dope? We're about ready to see the Clippers and the Warriors. The Warriors got 5 losses. This is like watching the 96 Bulls, the tear that they're on. I don't need you and your Richie Cunningham varsity fucking Clippers jacket out there screaming and fucking yelling. Oh, it gets worse. I might blow a fucking, I might have an aneurysm on this one. So I'm walking down going, oh my God, how long is this guy going to be yelling at us? And meanwhile, by the way, you know, the Clippers are out shooting around. And the Warriors are about ready to take the court. I'm going to get to watch Steph Curry fucking hit like 18 three-pointers in a row. You know, that's what I want to see. That's what I want to hear. Okay? I don't need, make some noise. I don't need that shit, right? But, you know, it's a new day. It's a new generation. It's their time. I'm just a grumpy old man, right? So I get down to my seat that I paid through the fucking nose for, right on the fucking aisle, and there, what looks to be, it looks like Steph Curry's mouth guard that he's constantly fucking chewing on, right? And it's like this bracelet. And I didn't know what it was. It looked like a fucking, it looked like one of those things they stick in the bottom of a men's urinal, right? A urinal cake. Except you could stick your fucking, you could put it on your wrist. So it's taped to the back of my seat. So I immediately just flip the fucking thing over the other side of my seat, okay? Immediately. I'm not participating. All right? Total contrarian, cunty fucking stand-up loner comic. I'm not being part of the group. Immediately. Right? And I'll take that. I'll take 40% of the blame of the rest of this fucking whining shit. All right? But the other 60%, I'm fucking right. So I fucking flip that thing over, and the fucking DJ guy with the Richie Cunningham varsity Clippers jacket is down there, and he's like, everybody hold up your fucking urinal cakes. And when you hold it up, don't forget to make some noise. Everybody clap your hands. Dude, this is all going on, right? Insanity. Oh, and by the way, there's a bunch of fucking, you know, like, I swear to God, what's that? Who's that fucking guy who does the... He sells the nice, comfortable T-shirts, but for some reason he shoots like 12-year-old girls in like sexual positions. The fuck is the name of that company? It's not Abercrombie and Fitch. They were into like fucking, wasn't it like white supremacist Kennedy children? I can't, it all blends together. It begins with an A. That's all I know. So they got these fucking like preteens, it looks like, coming down, you know, dressed like prostitutes and fucking like a B Hollywood movie, right? You know, like the ones in Pretty Woman. You know, the only exciting part of that was when he was looking for a hooker and then he runs into that fucking, you know, molar show and fucking champ there, right? I always hated when he fucking closed it shut. She goes, fucking laughing, all those fucking teeth. Jesus Christ. I swear to God. That clip right there is why I never dropped acid, because if I ever ran into a woman like that and she did that, I swear to God, I don't know what would happen. I think my fucking head would explode. So anyways, Jesus Christ, I haven't got to the start of the fucking game yet. So much just fucking bugged me. So they're doing dance routines, all this shit. So in the meantime, the fucking Warriors take the court and everybody boos him and everything. And I'm just literally going like, oh my God, there he is. There he is. Here he goes. And he starts hitting fucking threes. And the second he does, every fucking jerk off in the fucking building, right, who wasn't making some noise, came running down the fucking aisle. Everybody with their cell phone cameras out, taking fucking video, standing up in front of me. Here I am, paying through the nose for my seats. I'm in the sixth row. I got to stand up to watch a shoot around. What are you filming it for? The fuck are you filming? Can't you just fucking just sit there and watch it? I saw Larry Bird do a shoot around in 1986. I still remember. I got the video right in my fucking head. These fucking dopes. All these fucking YOLO douches come down, right, with their fucking phones. So I'm just going, oh, God, here we go. You know, Bill, yeah, you know, you're the old guy now. This is how the youngsters do it. This is how they fucking do it, right? So mercifully, people finally end up sitting down. It's the end of the goddamn shoot around, and we're getting ready to start the game, right? And I'm thinking like, okay, finally, this seizure of shit, of tumblers and hoochies and fucking screaming and yelling and making noise and bracelets fucking blinking is going to end, and I can watch the fucking game, right? There's no way this horse shit goes on during the game. There's no fucking way. And evidently, it's okay that they play music through the whole fucking thing. I'm watching Steph Curry bringing the ball up, and I'm listening to Drake. You used to call me on my cell phone. You used to. Everybody clap your hands. Make some noise, right? Fucking, I can barely hear the speakers squeaking. Dude, the NBA used to be the greatest fucking game. If you sat down low to see the game live, there's no It's not like hockey where you're behind the fucking glass. You know, it's almost like it's soundproof. And even that's still amazing to be down that close. But still, there's like this barrier. You fucking sit right down on the court. And they're right there. The fucking ball could bounce into your lap. It was insane. And you know, look, like I said, I'll take 40% of this. This is just me being a grumpy old man. Okay? You got to keep, the game has to keep evolving. These kids are growing up with DJs. People are asking them to make noise, and they like to make noise. This is what their fucking generation does. Fine. Fine. But can you just dial it back a little bit? Every time there was a timeout, all of a sudden there was all these fucking people running out. And by the way, the kids out there, they have a kid dance team. Can you have them do a fucking kid dance? You know what I mean? Jesus fucking Christ. Half those fucking moves I've seen in a titty bar, and I'm a fucking looking at an 8-year-old. Everybody clap your hands. The whole fucking thing was insane. And so anyways, and what one of the funny things was, I'm sitting there with Nia, right? And you know, she's a great person. She's not a grumpy person. So she's just enjoying all of it. She's taking it in. She's enjoying the game, you know? And when all of a sudden they started, like, I swear to God, in like little parachutes, they dropped down gift certificates to something that evidently we couldn't afford. I don't know what it was. I can't even know what the fuck it was. And everybody's jumping up, like leaping up, trying to catch these things. Like it's, you know, the end of the Vietnam War. And this is a ticket to get on the last chopper out of there, right? Oh, and the fucking t-shirts, all of this shit. I hate when they sit there and they got one t-shirt left and they start looking at the section, whatever section can make the most noise. And just watching people like a fucking dog begging for a treat. For a free fucking Clippers, a Clippers t-shirt. This isn't even a Lakers t-shirt. This is a Clippers t-shirt. Just watching all of those people taking all of their self-esteem, all every shred of integrity, and jumping up and down over a fucking 8-year-old to get a free t-shirt. I don't know. So anyways, so Nia points out there's some guy sitting in the front row that she follows on Snapchat, I believe it's called. I keep calling it Instagram. Snapchat. And he's this dude who just goes, yo, they don't want you to fucking blah, 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 blah. And he's always doing whatever they say he can't do. And she goes, look at him. He's down there. He's right there. Oh, look, he's making a Snapchat video. She's watching the guy make the Snapchat video. And then she takes out her cell phone. And 2 seconds later, she watches the thing. And I'm watching the guy down there and doing a Snapchat. I just watched the guy film it. Now I'm watching on her phone. And by the way, in the meantime, Steph Curry is going up and down the floor. Everybody clap your hands, right? I got ADD. I don't need all of that shit. So anyways, as if that isn't bad enough. As if I haven't been going on and on, you know, needing an entire fucking box of tampons at this point, how much I'm bitching. At least even though I can't hear it, even though there's going to be somebody standing up in front of me, even though they're shooting t-shirts at me, telling me to make some noise and clap my fucking hands like I don't know where I'm at. Okay? Helen Keller should get like this level of fucking direction. If she goes, oh, she's dead. Whatever. Anyways, Steph Curry goes out there, immediately gets a foul. I'll give it to you. It was a foul. All right? 3 minutes later, they call some ticky-tack horse shit on the guy. He's got 2 fouls in the first quarter. Now they sit him down. And old fucking Freddie Stubhub is sitting there going, dude, what the fuck? This is the guy I paid to see. Everybody yo-yos to make some noise. And I'm fucking beside myself. Fucking beside myself going, this is why I fucking hate this. This is why these games get fixed. This is why the NBA is fucking fixed, because this is the only sport of the four major sports that the goddamn fucking referee can take the best guy out of the game. Just give him 2 quick ones in the first quarter. Can you imagine if you went to go to a football game, right? Oh, Freddie Stubhub. I'm going to see Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning the last time. I'm going to that fucking Broncos fucking Patriots playoff game. And whatever. Tom Brady gets 2 quick ones for intentional grounding or some shit. And next thing you know, he's standing on the sideline and the fucking backup quarterback's in there. You're just standing there like, dude, are you fucking serious? The guy spent like the whole first half on the fucking bench. It was brutal. And the refs were calling fucking everything, teeing everybody up. And I actually, the only cool part about sitting down low that I saw was at one point, is it Steve Kerr? Is that his first name? He fucking looks over at Doc Rivers and he gives Doc Rivers a like, dude, you fucking believe this shit? And Doc looks back at him like, yeah, what the fuck? Like sharing this moment just as coaches, like what the fuck are these refs doing? So I don't know what happened at halftime. If somebody called him up and said, hey man, this is like one of the best games of the week and you're fucking this up. All right. Put your goddamn whistle away. In the second half, they let him play and it was beautiful. It was a fucking amazing game. Despite the fact all of that shit was going on. I know. I went on and on. I probably went on too long. I understand. But like, you know, it's such a great game. And, you know, I kept thinking about, Neo always watches all like those fucking, you know, reality shows and stylist shows and all that shit. And, you know, when they trash people for what they're wearing, if somebody comes out and they'd be like, oh, honey, too many accessories. You need to take a couple of things off and just go out like, ah, you know. They have like too many fucking bracelets and then the fucking, I don't know, a hat and a scarf, just too many accessories. And they go, you just take a couple of things off before you go out into the world, you know, be more Parisian. Don't be Tampa, Florida. Okay. I don't know why I said Tampa. I just, when I think of no class, I just think of Northern Florida. Yeah. I just said that. Are you offended? Well, why don't you look out your fucking window past the crocodile over to your truck with the steel balls hanging off the back of it. I'm fucking with you, Florida. Come on, man. You can't be all bad if Walt Disney decided to put his world there. That's what I feel like at those basketball games. They just dial it back a little bit, okay? Could the booty dancers be maybe, you know, could they at least be in junior high? Could that happen? That could be nice, you know? Could you play everybody claps their hands maybe just 18 fucking times during the game? You know, if somebody pays through the fucking nose to get sixth fucking row, could I at least hear the sneakers squeaking? They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. You know what they should have done at the end of the game? You know, like, you know that when you go to the joke shop and you just open the thing up and all the snakes would come flying out? That's what they should have done to the whole crowd. Just giving them a fucking facial of fucking t-shirts and... You know, I got to be honest with you. Even for me, that was extra cunty. But once again, dude, I always stay to the end of the game. I don't know why people leave. And the Warriors were up by like fucking 12, 15 points or something. I think it was, no, wait, there was a nine. They were up by 11. They were up by like 15 points. And then they cut it to 11. And people are leaving because there's only like a minute and a half left. And everybody's like, well, fuck this. Got to beat the traffic, which is understandable in LA. And everybody starts leaving. And I'm psyched because it's getting quiet. And I can finally hear these guys out on the court, right? And so the Clippers bring the ball up. And they've taken all the stars out of the game at this point. They just got the bench in for both teams. So what the fuck? Even they're saying this game's over. Clippers bring it up. They hit a three, right? So now it's like a fucking eight-point game. Warriors, whatever, they inbound the ball. Clippers steal it. Run to the three-point line, a la fucking Reggie Miller. Boom, hit another three. Now it's a five-point game. Now the people left are like, oh, shit, the fuck? And the Warriors are like, okay, settle down, get it past half court. They get it past half court. Fucking Clippers steal it again. Go to the three-point line. Boom, hit another one. It's a two-point game, and the crowd's going crazy. The people who are left are going fucking crazy. This is what I wanted. Now, all of a sudden, they're fucking putting all the A-listers are coming back in to save the fucking day. Chris Paul's back out there, fucking Steph Curry, the whole fucking thing. The Warriors bring the ball back up again. They somehow lose the ball. 3-2. The Clipper guy's bringing it down. He jumps up in the air looking for somebody to pass it to. And then sees like, oh, fuck, there's not enough time yet. And then launches an attempt that it looked like they brought me out on the fucking court. And it felt like, I don't know, way short. It was just the wrong guy with the ball at the end of the fight. I don't know who the fuck it was, but even Nia looked at me. She just goes like, what was that? I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. And then that was the end of the game. And then they were like, thanks for coming out. Make some noise. But anyways, at the end of the day, I feel like I saw Steph Curry. I got to give it up to the Warriors, though, man. Like, just watching them, the way they move with the ball around and all of that, and even with, you know, their star on the bench, man. There was a Thompson. I don't know shit about hoop, as you can tell. Thompson, that guy was fucking killing him. And then they got this other dude. They have like backup center or something. This guy is a fucking house. He looks like a defensive lineman if, you know, you put 6 inches on him. And he had one dunk during the game. I can't believe he didn't fucking yank the whole rim down. It was fucking hilarious. He got a head of steam and everybody just got the fuck out of the way. And if only they weren't playing Drake during the time when it happened, man. I could have heard that fucking earth-shattering dunk. It was literally 30 feet away. I couldn't even hear it. All right. I'm done. Okay. I just had to vent. I'm sorry, guys. I just had a rough time. All right. I've been talking so much. I've gone into screensaver. Yeah. I can never remember the fucking password. Yeah, you know what it is? I can't talk and do this at the same time. These stupid fucking capital letters. Come on. One time. Then the 52 fucking numbers that come at the end. And of course, it's wrong. Why would it be right? Do I literally have to hit pause? Hang on. Hang in there with me. Oh, when he gets it. All right, let's get to some of the advertising here for this week. Dude, that was literally like a 30-minute fucking bitch fest. I literally should pay for brunch right now. Thanks for listening, guys. I feel so much better. All right, Blue Apron. You need to know how to cook. Not only do you feel like you know your way around a kitchen, but cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again. But where do you start? Oh, Blue Apron has you covered. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients you need to create home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Everybody clap your hands. That's what you do. Have some people come out shooting fucking asparagus at you. Make some vegetable. No overwhelming tips to the grocery store. No more sad takeout. Aww. No matter your dietary preferences, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like... I can't read that shit. Alsatian spice chicken. Alsatian. You remember, what was that kid show? T-I-O-N, Sean, 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 Sean. T-I-O-N, Sean, 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 Sean. Sound solution. Sean, 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 Sean. Remember that? Was that the electric company? They were trying to teach you how T-I-O-N says Sean. Sorry. All right. I'll flash on spiced chicken with braised red cabbage, smashed potatoes, abused potatoes, domestic violence potatoes, gnocchi with shrimp, tomato, saffron, and olives, short rib burgers. Can you say heart disease? Dude, he's got disease in his fucking heart. Right in your own kitchen. Cook with... Yeah, this has a bunch of spelling errors. Ingredients that you've never used before, like watermelon radishes and purple potatoes. Recipes are between 500 to 700 calories per portion. Calories is spelled wrong. Delicious and good for you. Right now, you can get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/burr. That's blueapron.com/burr. That's fucking great. They send you everything. You learn how to cook a little bit. And it's not a lot of calories, so you stay in shape. Watching your figure. All right, stamps.com, everybody. Oh, shit. Hey, are there only two reads this week? Thank Christ. All right, stamps.com. Your to-do list can seem a little out of control. I'm flustered. So much to do, so little time. But there's one thing you can check off your to-do list, going to the post office. Thanks to stamps.com. With stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage. Not that counterfeit shit. Official U.S. postage, right from your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any letter or any package, any class of mail. You'll never waste valuable time going to the post office again. You'll do it in your own house. Do everything right now from your own desk with Stamps.com. Print the postage you need. Put it on your letter or package and then just hand it to your mail carrier. I love how they walk you through the whole process. Stick it on the package using your right or left thumb or possibly your index finger. Tuck the envelope under your arm. Walk towards your mailbox. Don't forget to open the door before you walk through it. And you're done. I use stamps.com anytime I'm whoring myself out selling posters and that type of shit. You know? Anytime I want to go out there and deal with every 11th person having the sweatiest, clammiest fucking hand ever and not having the decency to give me the fist bump. Right now, use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes the digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. What do I do when I get there? Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's stamps.com. Enter Burr. Ah, thank God that's over. Thank God it's over. I don't like it. I don't like reading out loud. I'll admit it. All right, let's continue on here with the fucking bitch fest that this podcast has become this week. By the way, the fucking Boston Bruins, you know, had a boring game against the Predators, lost 2-0, and then we went down 3-1 against the great Dallas Stars team. One of my favorite fucking teams to watch. That's the team I'm rooting for out in the West, even though I still love the Blackhawks and the Kings. And I know what you're thinking, hockey fans. How the fuck can you like the Blackhawks and the Kings? They're rivals. It's because I'm in the Eastern Conference. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit that you guys hate each other. I respect both your franchises. All right? Excuse me for liking what you're doing in both teams. But I like the Dallas Stars because... I don't know. They're the upstarts. It's always been Kings and Blackhawks, so you got to go for the underdog, right? And I just like watching a play. So anyways, why do I feel so defensive right now? I just enjoy watching a play. So they go up 3-1. I'm like, all right, this sucks. I'm going to watch my team get their ass kicked, but at least I get to watch I get to watch the Stars. But that was it. And I bet all you fucking Cowboy fans watching hockey, I can get into this, man. They're up 3-1. That's 4 goals in 1 fucking period. It's called a period, right? Yeah, I'm enjoying this, man. I'm really enjoying this. And then that was it. They got the old right there, Fred. Right there, Fred. From fucking the Bruins. A little cold lotion for you fucking Cowboys. Bruins went on and scored 6 unanswered goals. Brad Marchand, however the fuck you're supposed to pronounce it. They switched it halfway through. Scored goal number 29 and 30. I thought he had 29 goals the other day, but he scored 29 and 30. So he's never scored 30 goals. That's good, man. We haven't had like a big goal scorer in a long fucking time. I'm hoping he scores 50. Obviously, I don't think he's going to make it to there, but he could get 40. I'm trying to think the last time, who was the last Bruin to score 40 goals? Since I've been getting the, I'm going to look that up right now. My only guess that I could make would be Cam Neely, because there was like a 5-year period I barely watched a Bruins game because I barely watched any sports because I was sleeping on a futon and I was rapidly approaching my mid-30s and I had to get some shit going in my career here. All right. Last Bruin to score 40 goals. You know something? It just came up before I even typed it out. Is this fucking thing listening to me now? These things are so creepy. All right, who's the last Bruin to score 40 goals in a season? I'm going to say Cam Neely. That's the last one I remember. When was the last time the Bruins won the Cup? 2011, we know that. Who scored the most own goals? Why are the Bruins named the Bruins? They're named after a bear. Oh, fuck you. They don't even... sorry about the audio there. They don't even have the fucking... Jerome McGillna, the next 40, no. List of players with 50 goals, Boston Bruins. Yeah, it's not even here. All right, some fucking NHL nerd. If you could fucking answer that one for me. Joe Thornton? I don't fucking know. Anyways, all right. Let's get on with the questions here. Oh, by the way, fucking Donald Trump. This guy's crushing it. He just said that he feels it's going to be him and Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders doesn't have a chance. And Hillary will make it unless she gets indicted. Dude, that guy is so fucking brilliant. He just told everybody that this is what's going to happen. And the amount of dopes, after watching people diving over each other for free t-shirts, they're just going to listen to him, and then that's what's going to happen. And then he fucking throws a little fucking, a little fucking, whatever, pipe to the knee of Hillary going, unless she gets indicted, which gets that shitstorm going again.
Will Hillary Clinton get indicted?
I have to tell you, if those are going to be our two choices, it has to be a low point in this country. You know what I mean? When we have the star of a reality show on one side and then the filthy fucking Clintons. Oh my God. And it's not even Bill Clinton. You know what I mean? It's just fucking unbelievable. It's like, you're literally, like I said, why would you hire the plumber's wife to come over and fix your sink? I don't understand politics. I don't get how you can just start at such a high fucking level with no goddamn experience. Like, how do you just start as a senator? You know? Or that fucking, the mayor of New York there, Bloomberg. I got $1 billion. Yeah, I want to run this city now. Yeah, get those cars out of there. I'm going to put some chairs down. It's like, who the fuck is this guy? How come you don't have to start in the mailroom? You know, you don't have to start off as like an open micer, like a comedian.
Well, I was married to a president, so now I'd like to be senator. Ah!
Shut up. Oh, God, listen to that fucking voice. Listen to that voice, or look to that Donald Trump with that fucking wigwam. Be a man and just shave your head, you know? All right, two reads for this week. Oh, no, I already got past this. Let's get into the questions here for this week. Let's try to fucking calm me down. You know what's funny is, to listen to this podcast, you wouldn't realize what a fucking great mood I'm in. I'm in a great mood. This is what I sound like when I'm in a great mood, believe it or not. And I still had a great time at the fucking game. All right? Just so you know that, okay? All right. All things comedy announcement. All right. This Is Not Happening returns to Comedy Central Tuesday night, Friday, February 23rd at 12:30 after midnight. This season features long-form storytelling from All Things Comics. Al Madrigal, Christina Przinski, and Steve Simone and Felipe Esparza. So check that out on February 23rd. Oh, that's tomorrow night. Unless you're listening to this in the future, and then you missed it. This is not happening. All right. All right. Now this is happening. I'm reading a question here. All right. This guy, this guy had a bunch of shit, so I edited the whole thing. Here's his question. He says, "I'm 35 years old and still living with my father. Pathetic, I know. Believe me, it's not by choice. I'm finally recovering from Lyme's disease, which sucked away 10 years of my life, and I will have my student loans paid off in a couple of months, which also sucked away 10 years of my life." Jesus Christ, dude. Coming with the misery here. "In a couple of months, my father is selling the house that we currently live in and moving into a cheaper fixer-upper so he can be mortgage-free." I love that. It's a great idea, provided you know how to fix it up. Speaking of which, I got all the door, the last two interior door locks are going to work. I got a skeleton key for all of them. I'm so ridiculously excited, and for the life of me, I can't find anyone else who gives a shit. I've had people over the house and I go, "Look at this. Isn't this great?" And they're like, "Yeah, why would you want to lock doors in your house?" You know who loved it? My mother-in-law. She came over and she freaked. She was just like, "Oh my God." She goes, "That is so cool." She totally got it. And that made it worth it right there. So anyways, let me continue on. He goes, "So anyways, yeah, I paid off his student loans." He goes, "Here's the choice I have to make. I can either live with my dad even longer than I already have and be rent free in this fixer upper so that I can save up money and get my own place, or I can rent a shitty apartment and burn $1,000 a month, which would clearly be better spent on a new house. If I was in my 20s or early 30s, I might be a little more open to the idea of renting, which I did in college. The upside of renting an apartment is having a little more confidence and integrity when I'm out on a date, knowing that we can retreat back to my own place instead of my parents' house." Well, dude, why don't you just hit him with the Lyme disease fucking story? You know? And just tell him, "Yeah, I'm living at home because I'm not dropping $1,000. I'm going to be buying a house." And as long as you have a game plan, Women will fucking, they'll ride it. They'll ride it out with you for a little bit. Feel like saying, listen, yeah, I had Lyme disease for 10 fucking years. And I finally got over it. And I had to move back in with my dad. And that's brutal right there. I had to move back in with my dad. You almost want to have that part of a whole run-on sentence. You just got to plow right through that. I had to move back home with my dad. But I'm on a... How the fuck do you got to say? You got to say, move back home with my dad, but I almost have enough money for a down payment on a house. So I'm not throwing $1,000. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it's a rough one, you know? You know what? Fuck these fucking, fuck them. Fuck them. Just tell them what you're doing. Yeah, I'm living at home because I'm saving up to buy a house. Yeah, I am 35. Just own it. Yeah. Listen, I have my own back entrance into the house. My dad won't see. Anyways, let's plow ahead. If I was in my 20s or early 30s, I might be a little more open to the idea of renting, which I did in college. Sorry, I already read that. The upside of renting an apartment is having a little more... Ah, Jesus Christ, Bill. All right. It's also the freedom of coming home to a quiet house and knowing that my goddamn food will still be in the refrigerator when I get home. My brother is also still living at home. He suffers from migraines. Dude, what the fuck? What do you live near? What sort of fucking... This sounds like one of those fucking movies where they're, you know, they're, you guys eating the lead paint in your house? Like, what's going on here? Is that how you get Lyme disease? Or do you go on a fucking hike, not wearing any shoes, and you get bit by a tick? I can't remember. There's too many fucking diseases. Anyways, he goes, so should I get on with my life and start pissing money away on rent, or should I stick it out a little longer and continue to live with father so I can get my own fixer-upper? Love the podcast. Thanks, and go fuck yourself in the A with a D. JK. All right. I would, look, if you just have to stick it out a little longer, who gives a fuck at this point? You already did 10 years. You know, if you can get yourself in a situation where you can actually own the place where you're living, I shouldn't say that. You're basically, you instead of having a landlord, the bank's your landlord. You have a mortgage. And people say, do you rent or do you own? I own a house. We bought a house. Oh, yeah? Outright? No, we're making mortgage payments. All right, then you don't own it. Somebody owns you. Right? That's what happened. You used to be in a situation where somebody owned you month to month. But at any point, you could just take off. You could leave the plantation. Okay? Now you just signed up for 30 years with somebody fucking putting it in you every fucking month. So what I would say is I would stick it out a little bit longer with my dad, and I would buy a house where, you know, it's not one of those deals where you can just make the mortgage payment. You got to get into a situation where not only you're making the mortgage payment, but you can throw something at the principal. You know, you got to beat the fuck out of that, and you got to beat the fuck out of it quick because they front end load all the interest, which to this day, I don't know why it's legal. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. The president only makes $400,000 a year. That's right. Yeah. And bankers go out and have like $400,000 fucking, you know, I won't even say Christmas parties. I mean, that's what they probably play the outfield to come and play their daughter's 16th birthday. There's no way they pay for them $400,000. Green Day. You could get Green Day for $400,000, right? Play a half hour in your backyard. That's a trio. It's $133,000 each. $134,000 for the lead singer because he's playing all the guitar parts and singing. All right? I'm going to do a startup. I want Green Day to play my 48th birthday. All right, UK, United Kingdom. Dear Bill, when are you coming back to the UK? And are you watching any football, parentheses, soccer in between Bruins games? Nah, I've been really fucking busy, so I haven't gotten to watch any of that. I saw a little bit the other day. I don't know. It was in some pub. I always watch it, man. If I stumble upon it, I will watch it. But I'm hoping to do a European tour towards the end of the summer, maybe like in August. It'd be really interesting to go through Scandinavia, you know, when the sun's not going down at three in the afternoon, which, to be honest with you, I actually think is pretty fucking cool. You know, I got to admit, when I went to Iceland in December, That's the fucking time to go. Don't go in the summertime when every jerk off is there. You go in the summertime when nobody wants to go. And then you go to that Blue Lagoon fucking spa. It's just, that's naturally heated by the fucking volcanoes or whatever the fuck it is. It's incredible. It's fucking incredible. One of the coolest places I've ever been to. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be coming back, doing a big stand-up tour, and I'm going to be adding some Eastern European countries. And I'm really excited about that. A buddy of mine just went to Germany, was saying what a great time they had, and he was actually in a bar and met somebody that knew what my stuff was or something, knew some of my stand-up jokes or something. So I'm mostly German. So I would be excited to go back to the motherland there. Speaking of which, I actually watched this documentary. My wife, Tate, was talking to the charisma of Adolf Hitler on PBS. And it was this fascinating thing how they talked about just what is charisma, you know. And they had this whole thing where saying how, like, Hitler could not, had just no functioning relationships with anybody one-on-one. But he just crushed it in front of a crowd. And now he would make them wait and all of that shit. It's fucking hilarious. Like, he's waiting to start his speech. Everyone's cheering. And he's just standing there until they're dead silent, you know. It reminded me one time I took Nia to go see Erykah Badu. And she comes out and everyone wants her to sing. And she spends the first 5 minutes just walking around lighting the incense. So I'm watching Hitler. She got this from Hitler. It's the same fucking thing. Everybody's like, oh, we need to behave ourselves. And then the performance will begin. But they had all these creepy fucking speeches that he was giving. He was doing this thing where he was going, there's a group of people among us who can basically live anywhere. They do business anywhere. It doesn't matter to them. They live in Paris. Next month they'll live in fucking Vienna. Then they'll live here and blah, 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 blah. With no ties to their homeland. He just keeps spoon feeding them. You know, he won't come out and say it. This group of people, because they have no attachment to Germany. You know, but blah, 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 blah. And then finally somebody in the crowd goes, Judens! Yelled out Jews. And Hitler never addressed it. And then just kept going. It was, you have to see this. It is the creepiest, absolutely, absolutely the creepiest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. And then, but I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I learned some things as far as performance in front of a crowd. I mean, you got to give it up. The guy was a beast. I don't even remotely agree with the guy's message, but Jesus Christ. The guy's going out in front of a crowd, you know, a Kevin Hart sized fucking crowd. And it doesn't say a fucking word. He doesn't. It was the exact opposite of the Clippers game. Make some noise, right? Jesus Christ. Hitler's got to come back and start running the NBA. There, I said it. If he can just get past the fact that 99% of the players are African-American, I think he could do some great things for the league. I think he'd quiet it down. All right. Sorry. Anyways. So I will be going to Eastern Europe. That's what I was trying to say. Or Europe in general. The UK. There we go. All right. Apple fives the FBI. Dear Big Brother Billy, what are your thoughts on the battle between Apple and the FBI regarding hacking into the phones of the San Bernardino terrorists? Also, does the fact that the FBI has the phones for 2 months and can't get into them put a dent into any government overreach conspiracy theories? Now he says the situation with Apple is FBI wants Apple to create an operating system that would allow for them to hack encryption on the phone. They would upload the system to the terrorist phone to allow them to unlock it. However, if Apple does this, the operating system can be used by the FBI and others to totally compromise any security on any iPhone in the future. The solution's simple. It's just like, just bring the phones to us and we'll hack into it. And whatever information you need on the phones, we'll do that for you. Yeah, once again, because of these terrorist cunts. What you're going to do is that you're going to allow all the, you know, these fucking lunatics at the top to take even more power and privacy away from you. And I could just, simplest way to tell you this is just like, you know, the amount of people out there that can actually handle power, it's very rare. I mean, look in my business. Okay. You see what happens, you know, everybody's down to earth, everybody's cool. And all of a sudden you get your own sitcom and next thing you know, you're banning people from the set, you're tipping shit over and nobody's saying shit because you're making all this fucking money. You don't handle it well, right? Being like in the top levels of government and security, it's the same fucking thing. I don't think they handle it well. I think it's way too much freedom. And I'm sick of people saying shit like, well, hey, man, if you're not doing anything, then what are you worried about? I'm worried about the fact that, you know, just, you know, well, human beings, dude, we're awful. We're fucking terrible people. We're terrible with the amount of access that we have now. You don't need to give people more access. And I don't feel like, you know, they keep just hiding behind this whole fucking thing of like, you know, well, we're just going to use it for the bad people. It's like, yeah, but you get to decide who the fuck's bad. That Snowden guy, he had to walk away. What they were building was like the fucking Batman movie. They spy on their own fucking people. They're lunatics. I don't know what they do. I always picture them just sitting there fucking, I don't know, like, dude, you know, like that Snowden guy, he says when he stays in a fucking hotel room, he unplugs the phone because they have that speaker phone. Do you know that down at the front desk, they can turn it on and just listen to whatever you're doing in there? You know, fucking your lady, talking to yourself. Rubbing one out. Whatever the fuck you're doing in the privacy of your own fucking hotel, they can just listen in on that shit. It's fucking, it's just, the whole thing is creepy. And, yeah, no, I can't imagine, you know, what, by the time, you know, if I live, you know, to be like 90, 100 years old, like I would like to, I want to see the fucking, I want to live in every fucking decade. You know, I want to get to the 60s again. I was born in 1968. I want to make it, you know? I just keep thinking shit like that. I want to make it, right? So, I can't imagine, like, the lack of privacy that there'll be if you live that long. Just with, like, people with, like, drones and shit like that. Like, the cameras and just how, like... I think in the future, right, they're gonna have, like, these, like, microchips, like, misters, you know? And like somebody walks by and somebody just hits you with a little mist and all these little microchips go on you. And when you shower, like most of them come off, but like a few will still stick on you. And then your next door neighbor can just watch your whole fucking life. There'll be no more TV shows. We'll just be spying on each other. I don't know. I think it's all fucking creepy. And I think that's way too much. I don't think the FBI needs to fucking do that. I think Apple should work with the FBI. And if there's ever like somebody that they want to fucking check in on, you know, let them do it. Just have them call them up. Hang on 1 second. Hey, I'm finishing up my podcast. Let me call you back in 5 minutes. All right. Cool. All right. Let's get on to the next one. All right. Gay friend. Hey, Bill, first off, thanks for the laughs. Well, you're welcome. I'm 30 years old and decided to go back to school 2 years ago to study chemistry. I'm an idiot like you. But with enough effort, anything is possible. Yep. I believe Kevin Garnett said that. Anything is possible! During my first semester back, I befriended a gay guy. I am not gay myself, nor am I homophobic. I've also never had a gay friend. We have a lot in common, except for the fact that he likes to give and take it up the ass. Jesus Christ, dude. You could have said except that he likes gay sex. All right. I don't proofread these. I just stumble on the sentences. Here we go. During that first semester, I started to get the feeling that he liked me. I started to get uncomfortable studying with him and stopped answering his phone calls for a few days. After those few days, I decided to call him and explain my concerns. I told him that I've never had a gay friend before. I think he's a cool guy, but I also explained that I'm getting the feeling that he thinks he might have a chance. Dude, that's... You handled it perfectly. He goes, he laughed and he assured me that he wasn't hitting on me and knew I wasn't gay. He also told me that if I feel he crosses a line to tell him. Okay, great, I said. I don't know, dude. He said he wasn't hitting on you, and then he's kind of like, yeah, but if I cross the line. The way I look at it, at the end of the day, it's a guy, all right? And guys think, you know, if you're talking to him, you want to hook up, right? That's why women, you know, when they walk down the street, guys are like, smile, say hello. It's like, I can't, or else you think I want to fuck you, and then I got to deal with that level of interaction. That's why I got to walk down the street with this Donald Trump look on my face, right? The same thing, I feel that with, like, gay guys. You can only be so fucking nice, or they're going to think they got a shot because they were born with a dick. That's what I did a bit about that. Your dick's a dreamer. Your dick believes, man. It's fucking waving everybody around the third base. All right, now I'm in my second year of school, fourth semester, and we have more of the same classes, but not together. Over the winter break, he called me and asked if I wanted to go to the bar with him and some other friends from school. I happily said yes and drove to the bar. After about 2 hours, he asked me if I have any weed and if I'd smoke him down. Are we still talking about weed here? What are we doing? I said, sure, let's go to my truck and smoke a bowl. During this drunken stoner session, he proceeds to get out of that truck. Get out. Yeah, you got to hear that. So, yeah. Listen, dude, you know what? Your gut was right. You called him on the shit, and he said that he wasn't. And I knew it with that fucking line. But if I ever cross the line, let me know. Dude, he was trying to wear you down. He was trying to hang in there long enough that you finally just said, you know what? Fuck it. So basically, okay, he proceeds to get worried. He goes, basically telling me that he knows I'm not gay, but I'm the kind of guy he likes and I'm one of his best friends. And now his life sucks because he's gay. I just started laughing and saying, what the fuck? I'm too nice of a guy to say, get the fuck away from me. So I let him finish his thoughts. He was drunk and being emotional too, which was annoying. He reminded me of my ex-girlfriend. I'm just glad he didn't start crying. Anyway, after he was done, I said, that's great, but I'm not wired that way. Sorry. He kept going on and on, asking me if I'm sure there isn't any secret hidden desire buried deep within me. Oh, yeah, dude. It's late at night. It's late at night. This guy, he's going all in. I explained to him that if I was doing the same thing to a girl that I had a crush on, I would be considered a creep and that the girl wouldn't want to hang out with me anymore. Dude, why are you writing me, man? You're handling all of this perfectly. I already failed because the second he got weird in my truck, I would be like, get out, get out. This was about 2 months ago, and I've ignored him since. He called me 3 times, and I ignored them. Two of the calls were in the middle of the night. Oh, Jesus. 1:30 and 2:30 a.m., which leads me to believe he was being drunk and emotional. Exactly. He goes, just like a 23-year-old girl. He goes, I don't see him at school anymore because I avoid him on purpose. My question to you is, am I doing the right thing? Yeah, you're totally doing the right thing. It's just because you're both guys. And that because he's gay and he's old, like basically in the media, they're always considered victims. If there's any sort of soul, like you got to be more accepting. You know, at some point, if somebody's making you fucking uncomfortable and you fucking address it and they still cross the line, if that's something you're not comfortable with, yeah, fuck off. It's over. Beat it. You're fucking creeping me out. You know? Anyways, he goes, my question to you is, am I doing the right thing? I've never gone out of my way to avoid someone like this except for a girl after I break up with them. I have no desire to hang out with them anymore. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like a work friend you hang out with, but then one of you gets a different job and the two of you stop hanging out. I do feel bad, though, because he has had a hard life. He's the classic gay guy who grew up in Texas and was harassed and is hated by his dad. It sucks, but it's not my problem. I used to listen to his problems and try to give him advice on life and happiness and be a good friend. But after that whole truck incident, I don't want to do that anymore. Thanks for the help. Hope you and the lovely Nia have a great day. Yeah, no, dude, you handled it perfectly. You were never a jerk to the guy. You told him exactly how you were feeling. And at the end of the day, you had respect for yourself and your own boundaries, which he didn't. So fuck off, you know? Yeah. Teach him a lesson. Next time he has a straight friend, you know, just be a friend. Don't get high going to his truck and try to fuck him, you know? It's pretty straightforward. All right, germaphobe. Bill the... Leukocyte? What the fuck does that word? I gotta look that word up. Is that some fucking space shit? Is that a, I don't know what that means. I feel like half the podcast is laughing at me and the other half is pretending like they know what the fuck it means. Leukocytes. A colorless cell. That circulates in the blood and bodily fluids and is involved in counteracting foreign substances and diseases. It's a, I'm a white cell. Dude, that's that. You didn't realize how fucking original that is? I hope I said the word right. Jesus Christ, that was fucking brilliant. My hat's off to you. And also ties in with germaphobe. You know, whenever you get sick, your white cell count goes up. Do you realize on how many fucking levels that insult is working? Jesus Christ, tip of the hat to you. All right, a few days ago, I was stretching in the gym with the girl I was dating. She picked up her phone from a bench, looked at the screen and said, God, my screen is so dirty. And then proceeded to use her tongue to lick the phone screen and wipe it off with her sleeve. What the fuck? Gee, just when you thought getting high with your gay friend and he goes for your dick and your truck was the fucking weirdest, almost uncomfortable thing you were gonna... Jesus. He goes, I dry heaved and she got mad at me claiming that she was a medical student and done things like that. Doing things like that was good for my immune system. Fucking med students always got to tell you they are med students. He goes, I couldn't get over it. I had to get away from her. Now it's in my psyche that maybe I am a germaphobe. When I use an ATM or debit card pin pad, I always have to wash my hand. Touching those things grosses me out. Am I a germaphobe? P.S. How many hands do you shake a day? No, dude, your girlfriend is a med student, but she's also gross. That's fucking disgusting. That's fucking disgusting. Period. Okay? There's so many other ways where you can just going to the fucking gym is enough to keep your immune system up. You don't need to lick your phone, you fucking pig. Disgusting. That's fucking gross. All right? End of story. No, you're not a germaphobe. You're an intelligent human being that's, you know, you're just aware. Yeah, I don't like touching those fucking things. When I go to the airport, I gotta get on that little shuttle bus thing. And they're like, hold on before the fucking thing starts. I always pull down the sleeve of my jacket and I hold on to it like that. Yeah, I don't need fecal matter and mucus and jizz and God knows what else is fucking on that thing. All right? Gross. You're not a germaphobe. All right, how many hands do I shake a day? I don't know. Sometimes zero. Sometimes if I do a I don't fucking know. I know, but I go and I wash my hands afterwards. And I don't touch my face after I do it because I'm afraid I'm going to get pink eye. But I don't shake a lot of hands. But I will say people love coming out of the bathroom and then being like, hey, Bill! And then shaking your hands. I really got to, in the moment, get better and be like, dude, no, you just came out. Come on, give me the elbow, dude. You just came out of the bathroom. I don't know you. I don't know if you're good at washing your hands. I want to know you like that. All right. Dilemma. Hey, Bill. Oh, that reminds me. A long time ago, I worked the improv in Dallas, and I pissed off this fucking old... I think I pissed off this older Texan guy. Or maybe this was his weird idea of humor. He came up and shook my hand right at the end of the show. I said, hey, man, thanks for coming out. And he just goes, I just peed. And I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything with my hand. My hand is... Yeah, you could have your urine on it. It's fine. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to shake a bunch of other hands now. And they're going to have you pee on it. And then I'm going to wash my hands and it's going to be over. You know what I mean? You don't think you got... You just went into the bathroom. You don't have any idea what's on your fucking hands? That's now on my hands? Yeah, we're all filthy. All right, dilemma. Hey, Bill. So I'm in a bit of a tight situation. Me and some buddies were planning to taking a weekend trip down to Austin to attend a music festival. My ladies... Grandma is getting married the same weekend as the concert. Obviously, I have to pick. My lady's grandma is getting married the same weekend as the concert. Obviously, I have to pick which event I'm going to attend. Your girlfriend's grandma is getting married? Well, when the fuck did grandma have her mother? When she was like 12? My girl, there's no choice here. This isn't a dilemma. This is like an obvious. He goes, my girl left it completely up to me with no hard feelings attached, at least from her. I'm afraid of upsetting her family by not going to the wedding. Fuck that. Go to the fucking wedding. Look, if you're going to marry this girl, you have to establish early that you're not going to every stupid fucking function. You have to do that. He goes, but I should mention that my girl's grandma doesn't really care much for me, or so it seems. She tells my girlfriend that she should explore her options a bit while she's still young. Also, and I also have not been formally / officially invited. My girlfriend and I have been dating for 2 years, so it's not like I'm a new boyfriend or anything. What should I do? I'd love to hear the lovely Nia's take as well if she's around. Unfortunately, she's not around. Dude, fuck that. You go down with your friends and you go to the concert and you have a great fucking time, okay? And if this woman doesn't like you, at the end of the day, she's going to die soon. So who gives a fuck? Okay? Who gives a shit? It's not like her mom doesn't like it. Then that's a problem because she's going to be around and you're going to have kids and she's going to fucking show up and it's going to be a big fucking pain in the ass. Grandma gives a fuck, right? Should explore her options. Is she still running around single in her fucking 80s? You know? She's just projecting her own regret of that fucking oxen driver she married back in the 1920s, whatever the fuck she did. Yeah, go to the concert. It's not a dilemma, dude. Go to the concert. Just tell your girlfriend, say, you know what? I decided I'm going to go to the concert. Have a good time at the wedding. And just fucking leave it at that. And if she gives you a rough time about it, don't bring up the fact that her grandma doesn't like you and blah, 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 because then she's going to try and fix it. No, you guys just need to spend more time together. Just tell her I would rather go to the concert.
You'd rather go to the concert than my own grandmother's wedding?
Yes. And just leave it at that. If she gives you a ton of shit, just be like, listen, you know, if I invited you to something, but you know, also had plans to go to a concert and you chose to do that, I wouldn't give you a rough time about it. I would want you to do what was going to make you happy. I would appreciate if you extend me the same courtesy. Yeah, see, now I was going to say you fucking so-and-so. Don't do the last part, all right? That's what I would do. All right? Okay, there you go. All right, that's the podcast for this week, everybody. Everybody clap your hands. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everybody that's, you know, coming out to the shows this weekend at Foxwoods. You know, some people were talking about, you know, the ticket prices and everything. I can't control that people go on and buy some, these fucking scalping ticket things, you know, the StubHub peoples of the fucking world. So I got to figure something out with that. I know Louis C.K. does something where he sells tickets, you know, on his own website. But my thing is like, well, then how do you stop them from just going to your website and buying up a bunch of tickets and sending the fucking price through the roof? Like, how do you do that? Because I don't want you guys getting fucked over. But I can tell you this. If you do go and you do pay through the nose, there won't be anybody screaming and yelling and shooting fucking T-shirts at you while I'm doing my dick and shit jokes. All right? Okay, that's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.